Do you remember when we first met? It was like 2010.
The first what?
The first time we ever met. It was like 2010 or 2011.
Yes, I remember like it was yesterday.
And the Canucks were good. So who of those teams then, like, do you remember what other good Western Conference teams there were?
In the West?
Like teams San Jose. Thought. Yeah. So they're still good.
Chicago, LA.
Yes. Chicago and LA. Those are the two teams I want to talk about. So when Chicago and LA were there, Chicago had, you know, the dynamic duo of Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews. They had Olympians Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook on the back end.
And they're playing they're playing their 1,000th game
together. As a pair. Yeah. I mean, they could have got there sooner, except Brent Seabrook was a healthy scratch last season for a period of time. But, you know, we would have thought like, oh man, we have that core. Like, there's no way they're ever going to falter. Like, they're going to be a cup contender for such a long time for, you know. And here we are, 2018. And Dylan, I want to ask you, since November 18th, how long do you think the Blackhawks have had a lead in a hockey game for?
Well, since you're asking, I'm guessing it's like not at all.
The Blackhawks have only held a lead for 45 seconds since November 18th.
Oh, my God.
And let's just be clear. They've played more than one game since November 18th.
Should we
Let's start the so. Cue the music. Saying. Okay. All right, Dylan, we're back with another episode of the Winter's Coming Fantasy Hockey Podcast, a podcast about a league you're not in and with people you don't know. Wait, that's not our intro anymore, is it?
No, that sounds good. I think that's not good. Okay. That. Yeah. All right, hopefully, cool. Everyone knows us by now.
Yeah, I mean, the people that you would know are myself and Dylan, your co-host coming at you. Apologies about the week. Unfortunately, this isn't our full-time job, is it, Dylan?
No, I mean, we're almost there. We're almost making enough money off this podcast that we can kick our day jobs, but we just need a little bit of your support.
Unfortunately. And I mean, if anyone feels so inclined, there is a donate button on our website.
just right out the bat, out of the gate, we're asking for our donations. I need to buy Christmas presents. So
I did try making merch this week, Dylan. Geez. I think I sent you a picture of our glass that I try to make out of.
I'm still wiping the tears out of my eyes, and not because it moved me so much.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. So this will remain a prototype, but stay tuned for, you know, maybe in the new year or something like that. We'll try to get merch out.
you're promising a lot. I really am.
But speaking of merch, Dylan, I think we got some, didn't we?
We did. Didn't we already talk about this?
Did we?
Oh, I don't know. We got, from the Blues Hockey Podcast, we got a couple of t-shirts, and a calendar. I think we did talk about this because I remember talking about the Jake Allen, hockey card that I got from those guys over at the Blues Hockey Podcast. It did come in handy the other night, last weekend when the Canucks played, the Blues in St. Louis and, stomped them.
Right.
Apparently, that playing card is also a voodoo doll.
Oh boy, what were you doing with that?
I just had a hole puncher and I was just punching holes in it for, well, not very long, like the first six shots on net. So it didn't need too much. Right. So Jake Allen, I'm sorry. During that game, I also found out that Colby Armstrong of Sportsnet, Sea Dog. Mm-hmm. is a Jake Allen owner in his fantasy hockey podcast. In his fantasy hockey league. Hopefully he's tuning into this episode because he needs some support. He needs some advice for his team. I can't believe he still has Jake Allen on his team.
I was reading your tweets. So did you tweet at What made you think Colby Armstrong had Jake Allen in his fantasy hockey league?
Oh, no. He mentioned it on TV.
Oh, okay.
He straight up said it.
Okay.
In the first intermission, they were talking about how terrible Jake Allen was. And whoever was sitting next to him, I don't remember her name, was like, oh, you're mad for other reasons, too. And he's like, yeah, I got him in my hockey pool. So that was a shout out.
Should we start with St. Louis? We thought they kind of solved everything. We thought it was Mikey. I think we talked to our friend from the St. Louis Blues Hockey podcast about all the problems with the team and that kind of stuff. And, you know, they finally got rid of Yeo. And all of a sudden, they're, you know, four of six in the last 10, including 2 6-1 losses. Which,
against not, you know, very good teams, but against the Canucks and the Coyotes.
Yeah. So, and then also after that game, I think Bortuzzo and Zach Sanford got in a huge fight. Not a huge fight, but a fight nonetheless.
Fisticuffs.
And I don't know. What do you think is going on in St. Louis?
I don't know. Apparently their practice facility is in a mall, so I can't imagine that's very that makes you want to come to the rink on a Wednesday afternoon, but I'd probably be fighting people if I was in a mall this time of year. One thing that did come up was on the R Canucks Reddit. There's a new meme going on. The memes per 60 from the Canucks Reddit is league leading. Let's just put it that way. have you heard of this, Fergie? It's PDSD.
No,
Pedersen
PTSD.
Yeah, it's what happens after Pedersen plays someone, and lights them up. So the Bortuzzo Sanford fight was just them experiencing PTSD.
Okay,
do you get it? It's a pun, like PTSD.
No, I got it. Is there other examples of PTSD?
Yeah, you know what? I actually don't have them in front of me. I probably should have brought them up.
Okay. I mean, just kind of taking a look at the roster, they have a lot of really big money contracts still on next year. I mean, there's obviously Tarasenko, Ryan O'Reilly, both at 7.5. They still got Alex Steen.
Ryan O'Reilly just very recently, like this season.
Yeah. Jaden Schwartz at 5.35, Braden Schenn at 5.125, Tyler Bozak at 5, David Perron at 4. And then all of a sudden, they also have Jay Bomeister. Oh, Jay Bomeister's off the books this year.
How frustrated do you think O'Reilly is? Literally at the end of last season, he was like, man, it's just maybe I don't want to be here next year. We've just been losing so much. And then he literally goes to this year's Buffalo Sabres.
And it's in St. Louis. And it's weird because the St. Louis Blues last year were maybe a point outside the playoffs. And all of a sudden they trade. Who do they trade? Their second line center. He plays in Vegas now. Gosh, how did I not remember his name? His father played in the
Stastny.
NHL. Stastny. There we go.
Paul Stastny.
Just
they traded him right
off
before
his
the
Wikipedia
deadline
article.
While they were in the hunt for the playoffs. Yeah.
And then I remember it was Tarasenko, I think, or maybe it was I think it was Tarasenko or Schenn was like, you know, we're so close to the playoffs. Why the heck are we giving up?
Yeah. Why are we trading guys? And,
yeah. And now you kind of see the tidbits. I was kind of seeing some sound bites from the St. Louis Blues. Tarasenko, I apologize to all our fans. We can't play at home like this. I don't know how to fix it. We work on it, but it doesn't work for now. Dylan, us being Canucks fans, how many times have we heard the I'm sorry spiel from a player? I feel like that's happened too many times in our
I mean, in the last couple of years, it has. This year's different. This year feels different. It's like they lose and people are like, you know what? That was a fun loss. It doesn't really matter.
We're exciting. That's all that matters.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's like they almost won.
Although this is eerily reminiscent of the 2012 or 2013 Canucks where we're like,
you're
we
back
still
on
have,
that train.
We still have hopes of us being good, but deep down we're I don't know. We might need to make some things.
I have the other examples of PTSD. Here we go.
Okay.
Ryan Strome getting dangled. He's been traded.
Dude, my favorite part was Ryan Strome also got dangled by Sidney Crosby two games later.
And then he was traded. Nick Schmaltz, he had his ankles broken and then he was traded. the St. Louis Blues fighting in practice. This comes from DPrestige21 on Reddit. And Chad Johnson, who was waived the day after their performance. So there's the PTSD. He also says that Mike Matheson's violent acts against Deaky Pete were a direct result of being dangled. And therefore, a symptom of PTSD.
I think the Matheson thing happened like the day after the Strome one.
I'm pretty sure it did. There was like a, and then the, I think it was the game or two when he came back, when we played Chicago, that he broke Schmaltz. Oh no, sorry. That may have been the game before. It was right in the, in neutral ice when he was like, it was like the smallest Deke and he turned him and it was pretty sweet.
I think also, kind of going back to the Blues, Braden Schenn had a really good quote. He says, "We're a fragile group. It comes with losing." And I don't know about you, but there's not very many adjectives I want to have describe my team, much less than fragile. Like, that's a pretty for a group of, you know, grown men playing hockey, being described as fragile is not great.
No, maybe they should bring in like a sports psychiatrist or something like that. Yes. And just have them all meditate. And so they just like clear the negative mojo from there.
Or maybe they should like bring in like a high school team from the local area and they should just play them. And just so they gain confidence.
That's how you gain your confidence, is you just game some 16-year-olds.
Yeah. But of course, there's the negative effect is if you actually lose. Then you're just like, oh
shit. Yeah, there it is. There it is.
We've done irreversible effects.
You know, the other thing is that they've... Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, they've also actually traded their first rounder this year to Buffalo. Except it's top 10 protected.
Yeah, top 10 protected, yeah. But, so, you know...
nevertheless, it's... You know, I don't...
Does it matter?
You kind of just have to...
They get a top 10 pick this year? Does it really matter?
I know. Huh. Yeah. I know, they're pretty bad. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, one team that I think that St. Louis could beat is a team that doesn't exist yet.
Ooh.
Seattle Whatchamacallits.
The Seattle Whatchamacallits. There were some betting odds out there for what the team names would be. I think first one was the Emeralds. I think they were the betting favorite.
Yeah, the Totems are still going pretty high.
The Totems were looking
pretty good. We talked about this on one of our older episodes when they were first talking about Seattle joining the league. Have the odds changed since then? Because the Emeralds were the top there. Then we had the Totems, the Rainiers, the Evergreens, the Krakens, which are my favorite. The Renegades.
I don't know. Krakens is too weird for me.
It's too weird?
Yeah.
I've heard the Seattle Sea Lions being thrown around a lot and the Seattle Firebirds, but... I don't know. I don't know if we need another animal.
Someone brought up the point if Seattle Totems would be too culturally insensitive.
I don't get that though, because I mean,
because it's not a slur.
I think it's like a good opportunity if they wanted to do something like this to do it right. You know what I mean? I think when we were talking about that, there was like the talk that. Like the Blackhawks are insensitive and the Redskins are insensitive and the Cleveland Indians are insensitive. But I think the Redskins and the Indians are the only ones that are actually like, those are named after people that's like a slur, calling somebody a Redskin.
Yeah.
And Indian is just like straight up wrong. even though, I mean, I feel like I still see that when I'm on the highways in the States, but the Blackhawks were named after like a chief of that fought on the American side during the Civil War. So he was actually named in remembrance of somebody that was like a historical figure. And I don't think that there's any I don't think that that's offensive. I mean, their logo, people without the context, you look at the logo and you're like, "Oh, they're basically just, you know, they're making an icon or a brand out of like somebody's heritage, but it's after a specific person." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I think is okay. I don't know if the Totems, like, I think the worst thing about the Totems is that they're going to be made fun of for standing still. Like if they don't play well, I mean, like Sportsnet's gonna go, or well, I guess it's NHL.com that goes nuts with the puns. So
yeah,
I don't know if it's insensitive, but what do you think?
I could see the argument either way. The Totems would definitely get a good team, like a good jersey. Although I think you'll have like the native art element in whatever you choose.
Do you think it's a cool opportunity to do it the right way and like partner with the local First Nations communities in that area?
I mean, that would be a very cool idea. I think you might see that with, I don't know. That'd be a really cool idea. I think you'll see that anyways. I think there's a very strong culture of that in Seattle itself.
Yeah, I honestly think it's a really cool idea. I mean, they do it a little bit with the Canucks. I mean, the Canucks logo itself is reminiscent of the like coastal art from this area, right? With the way that the orca is drawn.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
And at the games, they have the, you know, Finn runs around with a drum, with a stretched skin drum. Which is pretty cool. And that was gifted to the Canucks from, I wish I knew the
tribe,
the community that gave it to the Canucks, but it was definitely a gift. I think there's opportunity to do it well.
Yeah. I could see an animal. Like, I don't know. Like the idea of totems is like very, like, you remember the whole Stan Lee, like Guardians series with the NHL?
Yeah. That was bad.
And how bad it was. What would they have done for the totems? Like
it would just be like a guy wearing a totem pole mask.
Yeah. Like, you know, do you ever play, what was that World of Warcraft, like card game?
Hearthstone.
Yes. Remember Hearthstone? And then there's like the totem cards.
Yes.
They're like meaningless by themselves, but as a whole.
They're like Transformers, they're like really strong, man.
Yeah. Ooh.
Put them together and there you go.
Okay. So if they're the totems, that would be my motivational speech as a coach. I'd be like, you guys all play Hearthstone, right?
You know, the one thing that I'm like, I think we forget because we're very close to this, like we're close to these communities on the West Coast. But like the totem pole is a very Northwest style of art. Like this is only really found in this area.
Yeah.
So that's another reason why I think it's like a cool, you know, it's something cool to like grasp onto and maybe spread that idea a little bit further, right? And give some recognition to it.
Yeah. Does that make it weird that our Olympic logo was in a nunchuck, like not a totem?
Well, I don't think it's weird. That's just another this is another thing that they used, right?
Yeah. I mean, maybe that should be their team name, the Seattle Nunchucks.
See, that's appropriation. There we go. Like, that's part of BC.
Okay, fair enough. Now,
wasn't it from the communities near Whistler? I think that's where that came from.
Oh, like
Whistler,
yeah, you're right. Squamish, you're right.
That area.
That's what it was. You're right. Good point. The part where it looked like winter and not like Vancouver.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
But I mean, admittedly, I didn't know much about Las Vegas. All I remember about the Las Vegas announcement was they had a countdown to announce the team name, but they had already revealed what the team name was. Like, we have a countdown to announce the team name of the Las Vegas Golden Knights or something like that. And I just remember because like an official NHL memo was already released.
I don't think it was released on purpose, though.
Oh, okay. No, like it wasn't leaked. It was like an official official communication from the NHL head office.
Oh, okay.
And then they were going to like, we're having a countdown. And I was like, what's the countdown for? Like, everybody already knows what the team name is. I thought it was really silly. Do you know if the expansion draft was televised or did that just go and go in the background?
For the Vegas one?
Yeah.
I think it was. I didn't watch it, but I think it definitely was because I've seen screenshots floating around of like graphics of Carlson and stuff like that. So I'm assuming that it was. I'm grossly uninformed on this subject.
Okay. Okay. So let's just say we were in charge of programming for the NHL expansion draft.
Yeah.
What are some ways that you would make it more exciting?
Well, I wish that all the GMs were there and it all happened live. You know what I mean? Right. Like the, yeah. Like there's like, it's like the entry draft, right? So you have all the GMs sitting on the floor and no one knows who's going to be taken. And then they're quickly wheeling and dealing to make last minute deals.
Yeah.
And then after we get all those little YouTube clips of all the GMs on the phones, speaking in code. I think that would be really cool.
I would love to have like a bug in each, like a recording microphone in each, like one of the GM's offices, just so we can get like some dirt on like why they're not protecting certain players, you know?
Yeah.
Can you imagine like in, you know, in Vancouver's office, like, crap, I forgot our GM's name right now.
Jim Benning.
Jim Benning. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. We're recording this at midnight. So we're
thanks. Jim Benning just being like, oh man, you know, that Troy Stetcher guy, like the other day, he like couldn't, he was pushing on a pull door and just like couldn't get it open. Yeah, I can't have a guy like that. We're not protecting that guy. Like we can find a guy that can
pull open a door normally. Jeez.
Come on. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of like, I think that'd be really funny. Or, or maybe you would have like, okay, maybe like in the lead up to the expansion draft, you'd go through each team.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a couple teams per episode. It'd be like Road to the Expansion Draft. Oh, it would be like 24/7. Like, remember that HBO?
Yeah.
Road to the Winter Classic.
Road to the Expansion Draft. I like that.
Road to the Expansion Draft. Yeah. And then you would have like a couple each teams. And like basically at the end of it, it like gets to the people who like have to be decided between if they're protected or unprotected.
And then they sit them down and they're like,
they sit them down and they're like, Braden Shen, you are protected. And he's like, oh, phew. But then it goes,
and he
like,
gets a rose.
Know, he like gets a rose. Bachelor? Yeah. And then it gets to like Jake Allen, you are not protected. And he just like crumpled. He's like, no, I'm not protected. So I wrote to the expansion draft would be pretty
fun. And he's
fun.
Taken in a boat and they give him a rain jacket and he just gets like sent off into the ocean.
Yeah. There'd be a lot of B-roll footage too, I think, of like players driving and like it'd be like a B-roll footage of like their families and how much they love the community that they're in.
Tons, tons.
Yeah.
And how it's just like a crushing blow to the community. Here's a few more names that have come up recently.
Yeah.
The Seattle Steelheads, which is Washington State Fish, which I think is pretty cool.
As you know, I was a professional, not professional, but a competitive ultimate frisbee player,
mm-hmm.
In a previous life. And, Seattle has a very, very good ultimate frisbee team, and ultimate frisbee scene. And they regularly have send a team to nationals that finishes within the top four. And they're called the Seattle Sockeye.
The Sockeye. Yeah. So you'd have the Sockeye and the Steelheads.
Yeah.
I don't know if
I think I saw a Sockeye on one of the lists too.
Seattle Skyline. How about that?
That's terrible.
You know what I like about this one though?
What?
It is a team.
The jersey?
No, it is a team that does not have an S at the end. Ooh, the Seattle Skyline. There's only a few of those. A
couple of those.
Yeah. I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast, but I was in the car driving down to Portland with some friends and we were trying to name all of the teams that don't have S's at the end. That is a hard game without Google. We eventually got them, but there's eight. If there's Seattle Skyline, that's nine. It's like the major league teams in North America. Can you name one more?
Red Sox.
Oh, with the X. Yeah, that's the okay. Yeah. Name a basketball Lightning? One. We've done this.
Heat.
We've done this.
This is an episode we've already done.
Okay. Seattle Metro.
Like, why is this so easy for
Seattle
me?
Metropolitans.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
You'd have to rename the divisions, but I guess if you're
they just take the name of the division. Actually, we're gonna be the Seattle Pacifics. We're just gonna be that.
But I mean, I guess if you're gonna reshuffle, I mean, they already announced what's gonna happen. But if you're gonna reshuffle the divisions, why not rename them?
Yeah.
I always like the name, like, remember they had, like, the Campbell Conference and the Norse Conference?
Yeah.
Not the Norse Conference. But, you know,
yeah.
Like, I always like that. Why don't we go back to that? That'd be kind of cool.
Because it doesn't describe anything about the conferences, like, where they are.
But, like, I don't know. Like, now with modern travel, it doesn't even, like, what's the deal with, like, you know, having opponents nearby. It means no, it means nothing.
How about this one? The Seattle Grinders.
That's terrible.
It's a
because of skateboarding?
No, because of grinding coffee. Oh. Also, maybe the Grindr app was developed there. You know, they've got a quite the development scene there in Seattle with Microsoft That's and true. Amazon and the like.
And Grindr.
How about the Seattle? What the hell is this? The Seattle Neon Warriors.
Well, that's a very, like, that's on a good value bet. Like, I would never bet the Neon Warriors.
You know what I would like about that, though? Remember those black ice jerseys?
Yes.
That would just be their normal jerseys. I am excited to see if they do like a color combination, something like the Seahawks, where they have like the dark blue and then like a neon green on it.
Yeah.
But I don't want them to step on our, I don't like, we have blue and green already in Vancouver. They can't have the same blue and green.
I know. That was the thing. There's all these like mock-ups of the jersey. I'm like, these just look like Canuck jerseys.
I know.
Like,
you can. They have to be like all green or green and yellow, maybe. Like the old Supersonics.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Actually, that was a headline today. The Phoenix Suns, who are also imploding as well, and that's because they don't have a point guard, which is, you know, I know we're a hockey podcast.
Was Steve Nash a point guard?
He was. So it's a very important position.
Ah.
And they don't currently employ a point guard on their team.
Well, they should look on, what's that app? Zoom Recruiter? Is that what it is?
ZipRecruiter. Yes. But Robert Sarver, the owner of the Suns, was like, if you don't give me a new, you know, the classic like owner, if you don't give me money to build a new arena, I'm going to move. So he's saying, if you don't give me a new arena, I'm moving to Vegas or Seattle.
And Vegas and Seattle were like,
yes, please. Money, please. Yeah. yeah, it's great. Now, of course, there's also like the expansion draft thing. So you can kind of like find a million of these online. But there's some like, some definite, like, just kind of looking at that, I know The Athletic did a like what a mock expansion draft might look like type article, and there was a potential to have some really good teams.
Okay,
like,
so expansion draft. Their draft has Braden Holtby and Jonathan Quick
being taken. The argument is that they'll have other people in place that they'd want to protect.
I guess.
Okay, cool. LA Kings fun fact: how many players do you think they have in the top 100? Of points
of
like top 100 players
like this year zero
is the answer.
What?
Zero
in the top 100
players in the top 100 of points. Yeah,
holy wait. Oh, you said Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I for some reason I heard Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah, that'd be weird. And also unfactual.
I'd be like, wow, Pittsburgh is they're really doing it by committee, aren't they?
Yeah.
Spreading around the points.
I felt very like vindicated that Evander Kane ended up in a lot of these mock drafts, which just further cements my take that it was a terrible contract.
Mm. Well, maybe it was a contract that they knew they could lose to an expansion draft.
If you're signing players with the intention of losing to the expansion draft, I guess that would explain the Louis Erickson contract.
Right? Yeah, but apparently Sven Berchi is going to be available. So why would you take Erickson when you can take Sven Berchi? They won't protect Berchi. They won't protect Berchi.
I love Berchi, but I don't know. We can find a Berchi in just free agency.
He's a placeholder, yeah.
And plus he'll be expensive because he's almost off his RFA deals.
Who's your favorite pickup here for the Seattle what should we call them?
Seattle, what should we call it? I like how there's like multiple drafts where Braden Holtby and Jonathan Quick end up on them.
I don't understand that.
But also with PK Subban and I don't know. It's
Craig,
just like
Craig Custance. Says that PK Subban, Braden Holtby, Jonathan Quick, and Evander Kane are all making this team.
It's, yeah, I don't know. And then, like, PK Subban is in a lot of these teams. Why isn't PK Subban being protected?
I don't know. Phil Kessel, I think, would be a good way to get rid of that guy. I mean, you're losing him to nothing.
Right.
Jonathan Willis thinks that Seattle will take Corey Schneider, which I can pretty much guarantee that that's not going to happen.
Why? Because the people don't want Corey Schneider?
I don't think Corey Schneider is going to be a starting goaltender in 2021.
I think Corey Schneider had some pretty like major groin issues, and he just had like a really good surgeon go in there and fix it up. And apparently it was like Luongo's guy, and Luongo came back from that injury pretty well. So I don't know. Like, I think that's good. I also like this Victor Rask pickup by Jonathan Willis. So his first line would be Zach Hyman, Victor Rask, and Phil Kessel. Like, I think that's a – like, Hyman's doing pretty well. I mean, mind you, he's playing with a very
– Zach Hyman's getting the I play on a great team treatment right there.
And then you get Danton Heinen. Remember that Harvard guy?
Mm-hmm.
The guy that would play in Harvard. But then second line center, Jared McCann. I mean, every Canucks fans remember Jared McCann. So I guess they're just going to be – they're going to suffer from them. And I don't know. I don't think this takes into effect – takes into account, like – any like draft day trades that might happen.
That's true, but there's a lot of talk that like with this expansion draft, GMs are gonna they're not gonna give up nearly as much to protect players. They're gonna take the loss because with Vegas it was a compounding problem. Every team wanted to make a deal and give up something to protect a player. So they just did that 30 times and ended up with like so many draft picks and so many good deals. They ended up with Marchessault and Riley Smith, right? Yeah. There's like so many mistakes, right?
I don't think
anyone was looking at Carlson saying that he was going to score 45 goals.
Well, of course, Carlson was also like, you need to take him like as part of like the deal that they made, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. I hate how people are like, well, I would hate to think that GMs would like try to identify a trend after one draft, you know?
That's true. Well, I mean, you can identify a trend in that like you can see what GMs are willing to do.
But like
it's not like a year over year trend, but they're going to learn from their mistakes from the first year.
But I also think that's like what are they trying to identify? That was like them just realizing that like, hey, the valuation of me protecting this player is way overvalued.
Right. You know, but they needed to realize that.
But maybe they weren't protecting the right player, you know?
Players.
Maybe the strategy itself is good. It's just that the execution or the reasoning was terrible.
Well, what do you think is more likely that a GM's going to think, I made a bad choice, or my...
Also, at the rate these GMs are getting fired in the league, like, what GMs are even going to be left?
This is a good point. Yeah. I mean, if PK Subban goes to Seattle, I think that would be a fun...
I would love that. Have we thought about who the Canucks might protect?
Protect or not protect?
Who would be on our list? So like we can do a 7-3-1. Like, because I assume we're going to protect Thatcher Demko.
Yeah.
Who else? So we're going to obviously protect Bo Horvat, Elias Pettersson, Brock Besser.
Will you need to protect Elias Pettersson? He'll still be on his entry level deal. Won't he?
No.
Because it'll be from this year forward.
You're right.
Yeah, you don't need to protect Pettersson.
Would we protect Virtanen?
I mean, I think it depends on this year.
But I mean, do you protect? Like, hey, who's... So here are the people under contract. Erickson, so we're not going to protect him. Horvat, we're going to protect him. Sutter, Sven Barchi, Antoine Roussel, Jay Beagle, Elias Pettersson, Cole Lind, Lucas Jacek, Petrus Pammy, Jonah. These are players that aren't
they're
on our team. Eric Gudbranson, Olli Lehti.
Honestly, like, Olli wouldn't have to protect either.
I don't know. This my source maybe doesn't quite understand the rules, so.
I don't know. I'm just thinking, like, on this Canucks team, it's kind of nice that we don't really have people that we need to protect. Like, would you be upset if we lost Tim Schaller or Jay Beagle or maybe we sign Granlund and I don't know, maybe he gets lost in the year after? Like, 2021, we have like six contracts.
Yeah. No, we're in a really great spot.
Well, no, there's probably eight contracts with Sutter and Berchi. But even with Sutter and Berchi, like, oh well, you miss one of them.
Can we trade our protection to like other teams?
Oh, as like an asset.
Yeah, like we will give you a protection slot.
So you're imagining that the protection of a player is a like a shield that you can physical shield that you can trade.
Okay, so you know how people like transfer money to the Cayman Islands as like a method of like tax evasion? So maybe we'll become the Cayman Islands of like valuable assets. So it's like, you know, like how last year, like Cam Fowler was like, oh, Anaheim doesn't want to lose Cam Fowler. They would like trade us Cam Fowler for like a second rounder. And then after the expansion draft, we trade them back for a first rounder.
It's just a deposit.
This is just like, and then you would have like a big short type thing. So like, you know, it's like you trade futures of players.
We're shorting the expansion draft.
Yeah, we're shorting the expansion draft. So then I don't know what the corollary would be. Like, what would happen if, like, some.
You know, how many protection slots do you think we have? You can only do that, like, once.
No, but, like, I don't know. Like, I'm sure there's teams out there that will have, like, zero, like, very few contracts in 2021. This also assumes we don't sign anyone next year.
Exactly. Like like, what happens to Bobrovsky when we have him, or Panarin when we've signed him?
Let's not
or
sign
Tarasenko
Bobrovsky,
when we've
please.
Traded for him.
I don't want to sign Bobrovsky for 8x8.
I know. Dude, goalies are like, if we've learned anything this year, it's that goalies are just absolute voodoo. And nobody knows who's good and who's bad right now.
Yeah. This was a trend back in like Antti Niemi days. This was a trend in 2010. Why are teams just figuring this out now?
It's because it's, you know what it is? It's because scoring's up. So the differences are higher. Like the spread is larger, right?
It's actually like the difference on-ice shooting percentage this year is like 2 or 3 percentile points higher than it was last year.
Yeah,
it's like
that's
902
the difference.
It's crazy. Yeah.
So you're not right. Looking at the difference between like a goalie who can put up a 910 and a 915 save percentage. It's now like between a 910 and a 900 save percentage.
Yeah, it's like
as
long as you're not in the 895, as long as you're in Jake Allen territory or in Scott Darling territory.
Which is nuts.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, so, I mean, it makes for great hockey.
No, it's awesome. I love it.
It's for fantasy, honestly, it is difficult out there. And
it also makes our job a lot harder. Because we're going to talk about some players who might have some unsustainable shooting percentages later on in the episode. But maybe these aren't unsustainable shooting percentages anymore because they're just really good. You know, like,
well,
and toilets are.
Maybe it's not that they're getting better. It's that there was a change this year with the equipment.
Yeah.
And goalies are like, they're noticeably smaller. You know what
and
I mean?
And they're also getting hurt way more.
Yeah, that's true. This is true. Should we go to our YOLO bag? Because we have a question from
We got mail, Dylan.
We got mail in
much
our
like
YOLO
Tom
bag.
Hanks and Meg Ryan in 1999. We got mail. never watched the movie, but
I mean, it's still it was just an early 90s meme. That's all it was. It was a meme before the meme. This is from Trevor Duick. He says, always listen to the podcast. Oh, great. Looking for some goalie advice. Right now, I'm going with Louis Domingue, but that won't last too long. With the news that Ranta might be out for the rest of the season, who should I roll the dice with? Talbot, Greece, Rittich, Kemper, or wait until I need to replace Domingue and hope someone shines or Ranta does come back? Any other advice? Thanks. So where do you go first with this, Fergie?
So when I think about this question as a whole, so you kind of look at this, not even within the goalie thing, you always kind of look at like the opportunity and also like with the assumption of rational coaching. So,
this is true though.
So this is
what
I do
more than ever.
Yeah. So what I think about is like, okay, what are teams trying to decipher about their roster? Are they trying to decipher if this goalie is the goalie of the future? Or are they trying to make the playoffs? So I look at teams like Edmonton, who are on a hot seat, and Hitchcock needs to make the playoffs, as does Shovel. Who's their GM? Peter Chiarelli. So they need to make the playoffs. So they're going to roll with a hot hand. And the hot hand in Edmonton is not Cam Talbot, but it's Koskinen, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and you kind of see this back, and I'll do a huge throwback, but with Dwayne Rolson. With the Oilers back in the day. Like, they always would roll with him. Or Dwayne Rolson and Manny Fernandez. Well, I don't know why I'm making such old references. He's like 0-4 goalies. But you see, okay, more recently, Marc-Andre Fleury and Matt Murray, right?
Yeah.
Marc-Andre Fleury, well-established, big name starter, big dollar starter too, much like Cam Talbot. But, you know, Matt Murray comes in, he's playing really well, they're just going to ride with him. And that's the same thing that's happening with Koskinen. So maybe not. Grace, I look at a team like the New York Islanders. They have Robin Leonard and they have Thomas Grace. They're both like on very like low-risk contracts. So similarly, they're going to kind of ride the hot hand there. So that might be actually a good pickup. Dave Rittich, also in Calgary.
If he's available, honestly, pick up Rittich. Because they're going back and forth in Calgary.
And Rittich is awesome because when he takes shots off his mask just to get warmed up. Calgary also trying to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know? And so they're going to leading the Pacific hot. Too. So they're a good team as well.
You are gonna give up a bit when you take somebody from Calgary because they've been winning a lot of games, but they're winning their games with pretty high scoring. You know, they're not playing a lot of defense. So you might get Rittich in one of those games where he gets pulled and Mike Smith goes in for the other half, and you're gonna get that nice old like 9 goals against average and like a 600 save percentage because he only played one period. A couple other goalies that I think we should look at. One of them is in Pittsburgh, Casey DeSmith. He's only 62% owned, and he's been getting the majority of the starts lately. It always seems like Pittsburgh has like a revolving door of goalies.
Yeah,
ever since since Fleury left, right? And they thought that
that was the Canucks for a little bit.
What do you mean?
Luongo, Schneider.
Oh, okay, Lack. Okay. Yeah. But I mean, like, those were all quality goalies. These are all goalies that have maybe not proved themselves. DeSmith has been really successful in the AHL, and so has Tristan Jarry when he's been down in the AHL.
Yeah.
So it seems like that's actually like translating to the NHL. And you can pretty much count that he's going to get a win a week pretty much if your league is counting wins, and he's got the regular starting job, which he seems to right now. And then a little bit lower down on the list here is Jacob Markstrom, who since the Canucks went on their terrible stretch of one win in 13 games and the return of Brock Besser, these last three games he's looked pretty good. He seems to need these resets where he can get Nilsson in for a game or two. And when Nilsson was injured, he just didn't have that backup. Who did we put in? Bachman, who promptly let in 4 goals on his first like 10 shots. So that was basically a write-off, and Markstrom had to come back and play the next game, even though they probably didn't want him to play.
Right.
So Markstrom's been looking pretty good. In the last game against Columbus, I think that was just yesterday, he basically kept them in the game for the entire game. He had like 35, 36 shots against, and the Canucks pulled it out at the very end. So if you need to pick up a goalie, look at Jacob Markstrom.
Cool. So what's our answer to Mr. our faithful listener, to Mr. Dewitt?
Jacob Markstrom. I would say Jacob Markstrom.
Really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, just because I feel like going forward, he's going to give you the best quality starts.
Yeah.
And honestly, the shots against, he's going to get a ton of shots against.
Right.
So that might translate into a high save percentage.
Yeah.
And the Canucks are winning right now, so go for it.
Yeah. So the other thing that
he's just going to think we're a huge homer. That's true. Trevor's going to think.
None of the ones that you mentioned, but Jake Markstrom. But out of the ones he mentioned, Darcy Kemper would be my pick. I think
I thought he was injured.
Darcy Kemper is not injured.
No, he was injured for a little while. I thought Aiden Hill was getting most of the starts.
It looks like he just came back. He let in 4 goals on 26 shots in his 8:46. But I think he has the greatest opportunity. I mean, taking a look at the player teams he's playing, Buffalo, which will be a hard game, but then he has New York, Carolina, and then the Islanders. So he has a nice schedule coming up. Okay. I mean, I think you'd be hard to remiss kind of taking a look at some backups that are really good at, you know, when they kind of can play. And you know, one of the things we talked about during our preseason preview was the value of, you know, just kind of streaming. Last year it was like UC Soros or the Dells of the league, right? So
yeah,
this year you kind of look at players like Anton Khudobin, who has been very well whenever Ben Bishop, who's, you know, a very injury prone guy. But whenever Anton Khudobin gets an opportunity to start, he's doing pretty well. Like he's well over 9, 10 each time he starts. Sorry, go ahead.
The one thing that I find really hard with streaming goalies, and obviously you have to kind of keep your ear on the ground, but you won't, like, NHL teams aren't required to set their lineups until what, 10 minutes before puck drop?
That's true.
So unless you get somebody that morning, or sorry, the night before, that says, hey, we're going to start our backup tomorrow, or it's a, you know, the second half of a back-to-back and you can pretty much guarantee that they're going to get played.
Yeah.
It's really hard to figure out who your backup is going to be. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, you can always look for the little green check mark, but
it's true.
This year, more than other years, it feels like the backups are getting extended looks because of injury or because of poor performance by the starting goaltenders, yeah, or
hot
whatever
hand.
It is.
So, to answer our listener, so out of the names you mentioned, Dave Rittich has the best opportunity cost because he plays on the best team and he'll be the start on a better team. Darcy Kuemper will be good because he will just be able to get a lot of starts and he has a history of being good. But Dylan says Jacob Markstrom.
I just think Markstrom's going to be more available than
I would say Jacob about. Markstrom might be for most of our listeners who aren't maybe like from the looks of, from the sounds of things, maybe Mr. Dueck is in perhaps a shallower league, maybe like an 8 or 10 team league. So for some of our listeners that are in larger teams, larger leagues, then that could be a more blanket statement.
All right.
Yeah.
We have some other YOLO bag news.
Yes. So a while ago, we had a listener. His name is,
And this is related to the St. Louis Blues, being very fragile.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yeah, it is. We had a listener reach out saying, would you guys be interested in having some paper craft created? And I briefly remember doing this. I remember when I was younger, I would fly to Japan a lot. I'm half Japanese, just for our listeners. When I would
wait,
what?
You're half Japanese. I only ever hear you on my headphones. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you can tell by my accent. I would fly to Japan a lot to visit my grandma, and we would always fly Japan Airlines. And they would always give us these little papercraft things where I would build like a Boeing 747. And I thought that's where it ended. Like, I didn't realize it was a thing.
You thought this was only something that existed on plane rides to,
like,
Japan.
Or just like, you know, just like, we don't want to make, like, you know, those like 3D puzzles, like they're like foam and you can like build little things,
yeah,
with them.
Yeah.
So like, I thought it was like, okay, for a company that didn't want to make, you know, 3D puzzles, then they'll give us papercraft. I didn't realize it was like a thing, you know, like people will do them for fun, I guess, you know, like as a hobby.
I feel like you're tossing some shade on papercraft right now.
Apparently I am. But we have a paper.
Unintentionally.
But we have a papercraft of Vladimir Tarasenko.
Yeah. The most paper-like team right now.
On the most, as one of their teammates would put it, the most fragile team in the league right now. So it remains to be seen whether or not this Tarasenko papercraft will be better at on the ice than the St. Louis Blues, but who knows? With the rate at which the St. Louis Blues are getting injured, though, right now, there's a chance that this papercraft version of Vladimir Tarasenko might actually get called up, though.
And just to be clear, we have the directions to make your own Tarasenko papercraft.
Correct.
That we'll tweet out.
That will, yeah,
for people
it's,
to download.
It's a PDF. We'll post a link on our website, maybe. Right?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, cool. So we'll do that. And so we'll do that. Cool. Dylan.
Thanks to
Stefan Marone.
Stefan Marone, thank you for making that for us. Next up, we'll have paper crafts of us, I guess.
Oh, I don't know if we want that. All right, Dylan, who are you buying this week?
Okay. We are looking at, there's three players we have here. Darnell Nurse, who has been taking over for Clefbaum, who's been on IR. His last game, Darnell Nurse, I think he had a goal and an assist in that six something win over over Colorado. Let me just check here. Yeah, he had a goal and an assist. He's been playing the power play a little bit more, taking over for Clefbaum, who injured his hand, I believe. He played 30 minutes against Colorado. So they have a couple of hard starts coming up against, well, they have one hard start coming up this week against Winnipeg. That's tomorrow. Well, if you're listening to it, it's tonight. And then they're playing Philly, Vancouver, and St. Louis in their next three games. So look for Darnell Nurse to pick up some of the slack that Clefbaum has dropped. Let's put it that way. It looks like Clefbaum will be expected to be out for a couple of weeks. So he's not going to be available for the next, well, till probably after Christmas, I would expect.
Cool.
Up next, we have Gustav Nyquist in Detroit. Oh, sorry. I don't know if I mentioned this. Darnell Nurse is 36% owned, so he still may be available in your league. Gustav Nyquist, Mantha has been placed on IR, so Nyquist is taking up some of that slack. Let me just pull up his information here. Detroit's been buzzing lately.
Yeah. They like this is we were talking about this last one last time with Jimmy Hatter. Yeah, that's my dog. Detroit kind of suffers from the Ottawa Senator disease, where we just automatically assume these players aren't good because they play on Detroit. But there's some gems to be had. Jimmy Howard is not being bad when he's been playing.
Mike Nyquist? Green has had like a bit of a resurgence.
We're going to talk about Capitals defenders in a bit, but like, how will you describe Mike Green to like somebody who's just watching hockey now? Because at one point it looked like he was going to be like Bobby Hull.
Let's reel it back here.
Okay.
No existential questions right now. Gustav Nyquist, he had a goal and an assist against Washington. Last night, and his minutes are ticking up as well too. He played two more minutes than he did in his previous. Well, actually, his minutes have gone up about 5 minutes a game since Mantha has gone down.
Right.
He's shooting quite a bit. His last five games, he's had 7, 10, 15, like 23 shots. So he's shooting quite a bit.
Yeah.
And our last player is Andreas Johansson on Toronto, 15% owned. Lately, he's actually been put up to Matthews' line. So that's all I need to say about that.
Yeah. 15% owned.
If you have somebody who's 15% owned and they're playing with Matthews, pick him up.
Yeah.
It's very hard to spell Johansson.
Yeah, Janssen.
Janssen.
Andreas Janssen. So, we talked about people buying. It's going to kind of take a quick look at the Capitals here. Earlier this week, Scott Cullen kind of produced this list of players that are kind of you might want to consider selling them because they're scoring too much.
They're scoring too much?
They're scoring at what might be an unsustainable pace. And we were kind of talking about this earlier because, like, right now, scoring in the league is up. And there's a lot of players kind of going bananas in terms of their shot percentage. So right now, what we're going to look at is Alex Ovechkin right now is kind of sporting a 19.6 shooting percent and a 13.3 on-ice shooting percentage, which are considerably like two or three whole percentiles above his career average. Mm-hmm. And he's also on pace for, right now he has 22 goals in 29 games, which would be like the second highest goals per game of his career. But he has the second lowest shots per game of his career. So there's a chance that he might not be sustainable in his current production. But I think you could get a go ahead.
I have learned that doubting Ovechkin is a bad thing.
So yeah,
this
I know,
is what
right?
he's doing this year. This is what he's decided to do this year.
Yes.
They were talking on the radio earlier today about his prospected, that's not a word, his ability to perhaps beat or break Gretzky's goal record, which would take him another like 5 or 6 years. But yeah. if he puts up another 50 goal season this year,
which and he is very, which, very capable of.
Yes, which he's on pace for. Mm-hmm. And next year puts up another 50 goal pace. For the rest of the year, or for the rest of his career, he would only need to score about 20 to 30 goals a year.
Yeah.
20 goals, basically. Be a 20 goal scorer for the next 6 years after that. And they were likening him to basically turn into Patrick Marleau. Be a Patrick Marleau.
So go play on a generational talent's wing.
Well, I mean, he was doing that even when he wasn't playing on a generational talent's wing.
What do you mean? He played with Couture or Thornton. Like, they're both very good players.
I wouldn't call Couture a generational talent. I would call Thornton maybe like a... what's a word for a geriatric a talent?
No, but he played with Thornton like... when he was good, like when he was like a prime player.
I digress. Okay. Continue why we should be dropping Ovechkin.
Well, I'm not saying you should drop Ovechkin. I think you can trade him.
Okay.
And typically when I make trades, I love doing the 2-for-1 trade because like where you trade two lesser assets for the greater asset. But with Ovechkin, I might actually go the other way. Like I could see us trading Ovechkin for a couple other pieces, you know?
Okay.
Interesting. How about Ovechkin for Skinner and Scheifele?
Yeah, I might. Well, I mean, that's an easy trade, though, because they're together going to, like, produce more for you than Ovechkin.
But, like, we were kind of talking about this with centers, is that you can easily reproduce, like, a Mark Scheifele-type center production, I feel. Like, Matt Duchene was on the waiver wire, like, 2 weeks ago. Like, you can find players.
That's true.
There was one. How about Ovechkin for John Tavares?
I don't know. I would feel bad doing that right now and then watching Ovechkin score 65 goals. You know what That's I mean?
True. Yeah.
And have half of them be on the power play.
Yeah,
right.
That's a good point.
Like, mm-hmm. like that's where he's. That's what he's gonna do. That's what he's gonna do this year. You have
another
Carlson
player
on here too,
John Carlson. Yeah, so he's on track right now for 88 points, and his career high, which was last year, was 68 points. And we already were talking about he was in our preseason preview that he was a candidate for regression to the mean.
Mm. Was the mean higher than his previous? His previous production,
like last year, he was shooting like 11% or something like that, something crazy high. And then this year he's shooting 14, and his career average is 9. So it's like, I don't know. Like
this goes back to what you were saying before. Do we need to like redefine what a
exactly
what
so,
an average?
So let's just say like the adjusted career average is like 10. That's still like,
yeah,
I don't know. It still like doesn't make him on track for 88 points. which, I mean, do you remember Mike Green in his prime?
Yes.
He was just a fourth forward, and John Carlson is not that type of player, you know?
Right.
Like, John Carlson's very good. He's not.
You don't think he is the same? I don't know. It sounds like he is better than Mike Green.
Well, I mean, he's better than Mike Green in the sense that he plays defense. It just...
Well, he's obviously a better offensive producer too. We can tell by his numbers here.
There's a YouTube compilation out there, Mike Green defensive gaffes. I don't know if you've seen it.
No, I haven't.
Is this another episode of
Dylan and Alex describe a YouTube video on a podcast?
No, but I just remember him like being snuffed off. Like, was it the 2010 Olympic team? And then people being like, "Why don't you take, you know, why don't you take Mike Green? He's so good. And then, it was very
apparent. That was the response.
And I was like, look at this video. but John Carlson, just some potential trades off of Yahoo's trade market. John Carlson for Tyler Seguin.
No. Why? He's gonna outscore Tyler Seguin. And Seguin's like that's how good John Carlson's been. You know what I mean?
I know, but that's how good he's been. But how good will he be?
Well, I mean, I guess you can bank on the fact that Dallas isn't going to be that bad for the rest of the season, right? Yeah. Like they've been struggling through some injuries, and so I mean, but this is the old story with Dallas. It's like the same thing every year. It's like, oh, they have the firepower. Radulov's back. Okay. Oh, nope.
How about John Carlson for Ristolainen and Tkachuk? Matthew Tkachuk.
Which Tkachuk?
Matthew Tkachuk from Calgary.
Ristolainen and Tkachuk. I mean, like, I guess you can, you're filling both gaps with those players.
Yeah. I don't know. Something to think about.
Apparently, I'm pretty gun-shy when it comes to these trades. I'm not doing any of them.
How about John Carlson for Jake Gardner and Jonathan Marchessault?
We're getting closer with Mr. Gardnier. Yes. But I'm not
sure. I'm
just going
to grab my dog before he starts sparking again.
I'm not sure that I would continue on with the trading Carlson. I mean, it's not very often that Carlson, that a defenseman puts up 88 points in a season. That's special. Fergie.
What's up?
Who are we watching?
We are watching Mr. Andre Kass of the, and I'm probably pronouncing his name wrong, Andre Kass of the Anaheim Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of those preseason darlings. Who's the Canucks preseason darling of this year? Was it Jet Wu?
Well, he was never going to make the team.
I know, but he looked good. But Andre Kass was a kind of preseason darling. People were like, remember when Silverberg first broke into the league and he had a really good preseason? And people were like, whoa, this guy's like...
Yeah, I drafted him. Yeah. He's not been as great as I thought he would be.
But Andre Kass was kind of in a similar ilk. And he right now he's playing on the top line.
Yeah, he's playing with Getzlaff and Raquel.
Playing with Getzlaff. And he when I was looking at the stats yesterday, he only had one goal in four games, but he had 21 shots on goal. So mm-hmm. kind of talking about regression the other way.
Well, if this is the, if this helps with your bet here, tonight he's got two goals.
I know things. Hey, all right, cool.
Kass is 17% owned on Yahoo. So, that's actually going up. It's gone up 5% in the last day. So bye. Or just
bye,
watch.
Bye, Andre Kass. The other guy I had was Tanner Pearson. Tanner Pearson right now is playing on Sidney Crosby's ring. And as we always like to say, you know, a shopping cart could always score 20 goals on
Crosby's line.
And the other thing is Tanner Pearson kind of fits the mold of like the other players that have done traditionally well on Sidney Crosby's wing, kind of like more physical power forward. And also he had one assist in 17 games with the Kings. So, you know,
only got one assist in his last seven games with the Penguins. And he's only 6% owned.
Yeah. Well, presumably playing with Malkin and Crosby will help with that. I remember one. So when we were talking to the Carolina, the people from Carolina, the Section 328 podcast, Derek.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, you know, how we would bring wrestling moves into the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how like Tanner Pearson has kind of like a nasty edge. Like he won't be afraid to drop the gloves. What have you?
Sure.
But like, it'd be cool if he like had like a chair so you could like, you know, use that in his fights.
Where let's are you going Tanner, with this?
Let's say Tanner Pearson didn't have a hockey stick, but he had like a folding chair. How many goals do you think he could score on Sidney Crosby's win?
Okay, there's the question. I was waiting for the payoff. That's the question. I think, I'm serious when I say this. I actually feel like he could score more.
Why? Because they don't break?
Well, it's a bigger target for Crosby to hit.
Oh, right. He just, it's the whole backboard rule.
You know what I mean? Like, he's basically, yeah. And I mean, where did we learn about, where did Sid grow up? Where did he practice his shot?
The washing machine.
The washing machine. What does it sound like when you hit a washing machine? Ding. What does it sound like when you hit a metal folding chair with a puck? Ding. It's just, you're onto something here. You're onto something here.
Is this like one of those things where like people who have had like PTSD or something like that, and they'll like
it's the opposite though. It's like a positive,
but something SD. Good happens. Yeah, where like they just like have a prompt, and they just remember what to do.
You know? Isn't that like Pavlov's dog?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, this is Pavlov's dog, where Sid just all of a sudden remembers. Oh, I'm a child.
Bank it in.
But look out for Tanner Pearson with a regular hockey stick. He also will be pretty good.
I hope so. I would love to see him with a folding chair, though.
Also, I'd like to point out Louis Erickson has 8 points in those last 9 games.
God.
With Mr. Elias Pettersson.
So. He's not playing with Pettersson. Why are you saying he's playing with Pettersson?
Isn't he playing with Pettersson?
No, he's not.
Oh, okay. Regardless, he still has 8 points in the last 9 games. I think there's something there.
You're the only one.
I will never be picking up Louis Erickson. I'm just saying for a potential listener out there.
What do we say? Hockey related, not always helpful. There you
not
go. That's
helpful.
Our advice.
And that's you not always... That was somehow less helpful than the whole Tanner Pearson playing with a folding chair argument.
Absolutely.
Dylan, where can our fans find us online?
You can find us on Twitter. You can find us at St. Louis Shoes. You can find us on stlouisshoes.com. We can be friends on Spotify now. You can see us on iTunes podcasts. I said last week that we were on something called Deezer. I've done a little bit of research. You can listen to podcasts on Deezer, so you can use that. Yeah, and then like everywhere podcasts are served, you can get us there too. Frozen food aisle, your local deli. Yeah, you'll find us there.
Tell your friends about us. Feel free to email us at yolobag@stlouisshoes.com. The advantage of emailing us is that due to the volume of emails we get, if you had a very hyper-specific question to like that was unique only to you, you could get a lot of really good advice specific to your situation versus
is,
you know,
this is true.
Kind of general fantasy advice. If you had like, hey, I have a three category face-offs, you know, only face-off stat league, and I need to pick up a guy, we're your podcast. We'll look that up for you. We will find the hottest face-off men for you to pick up. That sounded weird.
Spoiler. It's Bo Horvat and Ryan O'Reilly.
But please, we would love to hear from our fans, yolobag@stlouisshoes.com. But as always, Dylan, what could score 20 goals on Sidney Crosby's wing?
A shopping cart could score 20
we'll
goals
see you guys.
On Sidney we'll Crosby's
later.
Wing. You kept cutting me off. Okay, bye, everyone.
You're supposed
Good
to
night.
Bye.